He sighed and pushed open the door. As one man, the assembled company stopped talking and stared at him with the honest rural stare that suggests that for two pins they'll hit you around the head with a shovel and bury your body under a compost heap at full moon. It might be worth taking another look at Mort, because he's changed a lot in the last few chapters. For example, while he still has plenty of knees and elbows about his person, they seem to have migrated to their normal places, and he no longer moves as though his joints were loosely fastened together with elastic bands. He used to look as if he knew nothing at all. Now he looks as though he knows too much. Something about his eyes suggests that he has seen things that ordinary people never see, or at least never see more than once. Something about all the rest of him suggests to the Watchers that causing an inconvenience for this boy might just be as wise as kicking a wasp's nest. In short, Mort no longer looks like something the cat brought in and then brought up. The landlord relaxed his grip on the stout blackthorn peacemaker he kept under the bar and composed his features into something resembling a cheerful, welcoming grin, although not very much.
"Evening, your lordship," he said. "What's your pleasure this cold and frosty night?"
"What?" said Mort, blinking in the light.
"What he means is, what do you want to drink?"
said a small, ferret-faced man sitting by the fire, who was giving Mort the kind of look a butcher gives a field full of lambs.
"I don't know," said Mort. "Do you sell Star Drip?"
"Never heard of it, lordship."
Mort looked around at the faces watching him, illuminated by the firelight. They were the sort of people generally called the salt of the earth. In other words, they were hard, square, and bad for your health. But Mort was too preoccupied to notice.
"What do you people like to drink here, then?"
The landlord looked sideways at his customers, a clever trick, given that they were directly in front of him.
"Why, lordship, we drink scumble for preference."
"Scumble?" said Mort, failing to notice the muffled sniggers.
"Aye, lordship, made from apples. Well, mainly apples."
This seemed healthy enough to Mort.
"Oh, right," he said.
"A pint of scumble, then."
He reached into his pocket and withdrew the bag of gold that Death had given him. It was still quite full. In the sudden hush of the inn, the faint clink of the coins sounded like the legendary brass gongs of Leshp, which can be heard far out to sea on stormy nights as the currents stir them in their drowned towers 300 fathoms below.
"And please serve these gentlemen with whatever they want," he added.
He was so overwhelmed by the chorus of thanks that he didn't take much notice of the fact that his new friends were served their drink in tiny thimble-sized glasses, while his alone turned up in a large wooden mug. A lot of stories are told about scumble, and how it is made out on the damp marshes according to ancient recipes handed down rather unsteadily from father to son. It's not true about the rats, or the snakeheads, or the lead shot. The one about the dead sheep is a complete fabrication. We can later rest all the variations of the one about the trouser button. But the one about not letting it come into contact with metal is absolutely true, because when the landlord flagrantly short-changed Mort and plonked the small heap of copper in a puddle of the stuff, it immediately began to froth. Mort sniffed his drink and then took a sip. It tasted something like apples, something like autumn mornings, and quite a lot like the bottom of a log pile. Not wishing to appear disrespectful, however, he took a swig. The crowd watched him, counting under its breath. Mort felt something was being demanded of him.
"Nice," he said. "Very refreshing."
He took another sip.
"Bit of an acquired taste," he added, "but well worth the effort, I'm sure."
There were one or two mutters of discontent from the back of the crowd.
"He's been watering the scumble, that's what 'tis."
"Nay, thou know'st what happens if ye lets a drop of water touch scumble."
The landlord tried to ignore this.
"You like it?"
he said to Mort, in pretty much the same tone of voice people used when they said to St. George, "You killed a what?"
"It's quite tangy," said Mort, "and sort of nutty."
"Excuse me,"
said the landlord, and gently took the mug out of Mort's hand. He sniffed at it, then wiped his eyes.
"Ugh,"
he said.
"It's the right stuff, all right."
He looked at the boy with something verging on admiration. It wasn't that he'd drunk a third of a pint of scumble in itself. It was that he was still vertical and apparently alive. He handed the pot back again. It was as if Mort was being given a